Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock, and we are working with and in the midst of the American Book of the Dead by E.J. Gold, right?
Absolutely.
Boy, a lot has gone on in the last few weeks, just an enormous amount that is so much effect that affects us in the work we're doing right now, and it gives us an opportunity to, let's just say, walk the walk.
Yes,
right?
Practice what we preach.
Practice what we preach. One of our great long-time friends passed away a few weeks ago on the 10th. Today, Maya Angelou passed away. She was a marker she was. And we have a number of individuals that are going through many things in various ways. And let's just say holding this material up in front of us is really very helpful. And I find it very encouraging to work with this material. It's freeing to work with it.
Mm-hmm. It's very approachable and actually is something that is getting to be, we won't say quite yet hip pocket, but close. It's the book was on the shelf, and then we put it in our hands, and then we opened it up, and now we're actually getting inside of it. So this is a long distance that we have come together.
Now, what we've been trying to do, and talk to me about this after the class too,
yes,
if you can remember.
Yes.
What we're working with is how do you actually approach this material? And there's a number of ways to approach it. First of all, for me, the thing that's important is for us to begin to realize that we are, in fact, voyagers. If we can begin to realize that, it's quite something. We are locked in a human biological machine, we're prey to the power of that machine, which is terrific. It's very powerful, and it's important that it's powerful, because when we awaken the human biological machine in a proper manner, it becomes a transformational apparatus, which is the fundamental part of freeing us into a more of a life of the essential self, which helps us understand that we're voyagers, and on and on and on we go. So a lot of the work we do sometimes has to do with proper awakening of the centrums and allowing yourself to be in those so that in a sense you're beginning to become freed of that. So as we free ourselves into the next dimension, so to speak, something becomes possible. So we're working with a very difficult task here. How do you actually do that? How do you actually do it? We can talk about it, we can think about it, be excited by it, you know, the whole thing. But how do you do it on a moment-by-moment basis? So we left a few weeks ago, we left the symptoms, which is the readings 1 through 5, and people had the experiment of reading to each other and being read to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we can remember that event?
Absolutely.
Really, we can remember how important that was. Now we went into, now the Voyager has, let's say death has occurred in our arc of experimentation here. And so now the Voyager is sitting there, and the Voyager is saying, and I really like what it says at the beginning of 4, Chamber 4. I'm just going to turn to Chamber 4
mm-hmm.
real quick. And at the beginning of Chamber 4, right at the beginning, it says, at the moment,
yes.
I seem to be recovering from the blackout stage, which we discussed somewhat when we were discussing the bounce and the clear light. And then jumping ahead a couple of paragraphs, 3 paragraphs, with my Voyager, my labyrinth voyaging senses recovered.
Yes.
This is the key, all right? How do you get to that point? So now, at this point, in the reading of the ABD, if the practitioner is reading, they're reading to someone whose body, there's not a question, the body is dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when we start to explore this idea of reading to each other, what are we talking about? We're talking about standing in a different place, being read to, because our bodies are not dead at the moment, and so we have an opportunity to see what the sensing is to stand in that position. So what does the sensing mean when it says something like this? With my labyrinth voyaging senses. Now, so what I selected these first three chambers, and I said, okay, go ahead and read. I don't know if anybody did it, but select somebody and read to each other, and then investigate, how does this, do I see these chambers in my day-to-day life? Is that even appropriate? Does that make sense to do that?
Absolutely.
So we've launched it out there, and I'm just wondering if anybody had a chance to do that.
David, Susan and I did.
Susan, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Susan. Greetings. So I'm just wondering, I'm trying to, see, I'm wondering, I know that Tom had a chance of doing it too, and so did Steve, and some people had a little, they were a little concerned about writing down what their experience was for some reason. I don't know what it is. They had a little sensation about that. So I'd like to, I'm wondering, Harry and Susan, if you'd like to work a little bit and discuss what it was like to do that.
Please.
Susan, would you like to share first?
Why don't you start and I'll add in.
Well, we took turns reading as we had done previously. So it was a question of switching into the other person at the same time I was trying to step into being myself as a deceased person when she was reading to me, and vice versa when the roles were switched. So I discovered, I can't speak for Susan on this, but basically we were learning from the teaching that whatever is uncomfortable or annoying or extremely bright, burning, loud, or frightening is something that we have to learn to sit with, which is not unlike what therapists tell their patients, to stay with an experience. It exactly has the same feeling and a very similar signature.
Okay.
And that to do this with no resistance whatsoever, because I know I found myself this week after becoming aware of this, that all kinds of little soft white and soft smoky lights were drawing me away from it. Things like exercise or doing chores, drinking, having sex, any number of little behaviors my historical personality has produced would suffice, including even watching TV and something useful like the Discovery Channel, because I would tell myself at least I was learning something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, in fact, since I was just developing a habit of not facing some things. So it felt the very same thing for the first time when I was going about my everyday life that it had when I was being read to or reading to Susan, if that's helpful.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you described your setup, you described it as, I think you used the word pretending to be a dead person. That was an interesting stance for me. Is that one that you would maintain throughout the day as you were observing whatever you observed as a radiation or as a smoky light, or was it only during the time that you were either receiving the reading or delivering the reading?
Receiving or delivering the reading is what really prompted the idea to recur throughout the day where I would notice it. It's not, it's like I wouldn't be able to have the physical body to respond to this. So where is this present? It's my experience that these different states are with us all the time. We're going in and out of these things all the time, usually without noticing it. And I was noticing it, which to me was a revelation that I thought, well, if I can just hold this and be aware of it, this is the same chamber, whether I have a physical organism to respond to it or not. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you more about that after we listen to Susan for a moment, though. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, I think for both Harry and I, we at that time didn't have a lot of time to read, both do an entire reading. So we switched off chapters, or basically chambers. So when I was being read to, for example, I would put my body in total relaxation with my eyes closed and basically disembody myself and just feel the being like memories of a flotation tank and just feeling the reading coming into me. And then later, after the reading, Harry and I talked and noticed things in our life where we had to stand in the pure radiation. Or to run off and take the easy way out, you would not get reap the same rewards as if you could stand in, even an embarrassing moment of confession. And so I don't know that I was able to hold all day the feeling of being disembodied.
Susan, may I ask you a question about the after the reading experience?
Yes.
You said holding it in the radiation or being able to maintain the experience of being in the radiation. When you were actively noticing the experience of being in the radiation, what were you using to maintain the being in the radiation?
It felt like standing in the wind. It felt like facing something. So it was just sheer determination to stand there and face it rather than turn around. I don't know if that answers the question.
It does answer the question. I'm going to ask if it would be okay for me to use the word will to describe the experience as you've named it.
Yes. Yeah, because it would be, I guess, will to stand there and face it.
Okay, thank you. Because we'll need some common language here, and we don't have time for all of us to put in all of our bits and pieces to come up with it. So one of the shorthands will be that we've made some agreements about some of our vocabulary. That was, thank you. That's what I wanted to cover. Thank you. Good descriptions for us. Helpful. Very helpful.
You're welcome.
David, I guess to summarize, and Pat, from my perspective, is that I just recognize a similar vibrational signature and experience, a similar vibrational footprint in some of the things that I do every day to avoid sitting in a certain state of awareness, which was reminiscent of what was happening when Susan and I were reading.
Okay. How do you know that?
It had the same taste to it.
As what?
As the two experiences had a similar flavor to them.
Okay. Part of what I'm looking for also is that the reading to each other, or your own reading if you haven't had the opportunity to read to another, your own reading is, I want it to be kind of a blueprint that winds up being superimposed on the world. I want to know about what happened when you went to the hardware store and some guy knocked over a whole bin of nails, and he was wearing a red shirt at the time, or what you went to check out and the person right before you was arguing with the checkout person about how expensive it was and why did it have to be this. And the last time I came here it was like this. And can you, while you're doing that, when you're in that environment, can you suddenly say, oh, wait a minute, I see. I mustn't allow myself to react to the natural fear engendered by this experience by giving into panic and hysteria. As the radiation, listen, dissolves karma, which is to say, frees me from those results of my continual involvement in the biological bodies, right? The ego will also dissolve the false self of detached self existence generated by the human primate self. And then he goes on to say, jumping ahead, no matter how great the fear, I won't allow panic to rise, listen, so much that I am helplessly drawn down into the soft, pleasant, seductive white light. How clear is that?
Exquisitely, excruciatingly detailed
and clear. And yeah, Harry, you weren't here were you here when I told about the path?
Yes.
The hiking.
You bet. Yeah.
And this was a clear and distinct time when I chose the soft white light. And so what I'm saying is that this is not only a roadmap for the Voyager, the person that we're reading to this dead, but now can we start to like suspend the judgment that is engendered by our historical personality and impose on it suddenly, how might the Voyager be looking at this environment right now? And does this make sense? First of all, does this make sense to anybody, or am I just blowing hot air? Is that just hot air passing through my lips?
I will not comment about the temperature.
Okay.
Of the flow of prana.
Yes.
In and out of the form that you appear to be wearing at the moment, which I disregard anyway.
I like that.
However, the question is, in what way, we always ask the question to ourselves in a manner in which we can answer. You never ask yourself a question in a manner in which you can't answer it. You're not doing yourself any favor. In what way exactly can I know about, specifically, those things which seem to indicate convinced wrongly that I have taken the soft path, or I am standing in the full brunt force of the radiation, holding fast, as Susan described, as the wind is trying to blow me. However you phrase it to yourself, whatever the descriptive quality is, the question is, how is it that I can know that? That's
right.
The question. How can I know that? Not what is it necessarily, but how can I know that? What is the way? What is the sense that's going to give me that data? That's what we're asking. Yes?
When I, just one quick second. When I've hiked, I hike along the Yuba River sometimes, the South Yuba, and you're hiking along a path, and it's really, there's no markers, you know, it says like Jones Street or Third Street or anything, it's just the path, right? But sometimes there's little things and stuff. So what people do is they leave markers on side of the, by stacking stones. So you might see three large stones and then two small stones. So when they get back to their buddy, they're going to say, oh, yeah, you turn at that marker. Here's how I'm describing it to you. And then that's where you go down to the river, and there's a great pool there. So it's a marker. It's constructing markers. So what I'm saying is, can we develop a system of markers? That's it. Can we develop a system of markers such that we flip into this and we say, I am a voyager. What was that, the phrase again? Now that I've recovered my voyager.
With my voyager senses recovered.
So if I can recover my voyager senses and this, you know, harpy of a shopkeeper is just not, you know, giving me a very, very hard time. Is she the cause of my world at that point? Or is this a picture that I painted that I need to paint because I need to stand in the, my pride, you know, is so big and huge and the element of earth has come forth, and I need the yellow radiation. And if I can look like that, I happen to notice that she's dressed in yellow. Her uniform of the shop is in yellow. And so right then and there, I'm getting the yellow cleansing radiation that has to do with what? Oh, yeah. My pride.
Sixth chamber, if I can focus my attention on the radiant face of the beloved and allow the harsh yellow radiation to do its dissolving work.
So I think that part of what's being said, and I got that, Susan, we'll get coming. Part of what I think the offer of this literature is to give us yet another level of where we can work with observation. We've worked extensively through, you know, HBM, and we talked about different forms of self-observation and practical work on self and the tremendous tools. Now we got another one because I have a sneaking suspicion that when my pride needs to be worked on, a yellow radiation is going to show up and give me a helping hand. Susan, can you, do you want to go into the comments, please?
Sure. We have a comment. There's several. So Simon was saying that he was experimenting with the same scenario during the daylight on the streets. Like, how about if I'm dead right now? Dead man
yeah.
walking.
Dead man walking. Okay.
And he goes on to say, for me, is when I feel the tension between the machine and the self-witnessing, then I have to hang on, my friend. The heat of the radiation if you want to call it that.
Who is saying that?
Simon.
That's continuing to be Simon. Okay. Thank you.
And then there's another comment from Magic Phoenix saying that she did not have an issue pretending to be dead. A greater understanding came out of it.
Good.
And then she
Good
said
magic.
To enforce a lack of resistance.
This is very profound what she's saying. This to what is, say it again to enforce.
To enforce a lack of resistance.
Flip that a little bit. How about active surrender? Where we are working. What's the first line of the prayer absolute again? In motion bowing. Motion bowing.
Humbly.
The second line is humbly with heart alive.
Mm-hmm.
My presence comes to thee.
A small little image that just popped up here.
Good one, magic.
When I lay in the radiation chamber, receiving radiation for cancer, there is a sound in the chamber that is massive. They give you earplugs, but they don't work really good.
Wow.
And there's a mechanical device that goes around your whole body so that you get the radiation, like in my case, at 360 degrees around this particular area. So it's shooting from different locations, different beams of different strengths. It's quite technical, but the experience of lying in the chamber and doing exactly what that person said, lowering my resistance.
Right.
Because to actively surrender and accept radiation of that kind as a form of clear light was a supreme divine opportunity. So you lower your resistance by actively accepting, in fact, inviting that radiation in. So it just reminded me vividly of that experience of 33 days sitting there,
right.
Lying there. Anyway, just a picture to
conjure with.
And imagine a little bit of that. You can work it up.
I never thought of accepting radiation in that form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing to ponder.
What else? Anything else?
No.
Okay. The natural reaction to these I don't want to get psychological here at all, but the natural reaction sometimes to these events that occur is for us to do what?
Panic, freeze,
you
get
freeze
tight,
up,
tense.
Freeze up, you get tense, and then you do what you're supposed to do is you react. You react and you punch the other person out. Simple as that.
Biological machine at work.
That's the biological machine.
Surviving.
Doing what it's been trained to do, and we're saying, hey, maybe there's a different way. Maybe we can instead be a voyager. But part of that requires you to embrace that radiation, which the machine is interpreting as fear.
Correct.
Can you work with fear at that moment? What's the worst that can happen?
Well, certainly dying is not the worst.
Doesn't appear to, well, I don't know.
Dying is not the worst. Worse than dying would be not taking advantage of the situation as a voyager. That's way worse. Because whatever your level of awareness and consciousness and Voyager experience and training you have right now, you cannot guarantee that you're going to ever have that again. You have to take advantage of your situation as it is at this moment, not as it might be in some other moment, either past or future, neither which is relevant. But, you know, the worst thing is not to take advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves.
David, there are more comments.
Yeah,
go ahead.
A good one. Why don't you go, Harry?
Nortiana writes, after reading those chambers during the week, I wondered how I could recognize the dissolutive radiation in my day-to-day life. I hadn't been able to recognize them directly, but seeing that the Voyager received the dissolutive radiations like something unpleasant, actually, what I've been doing is tolerating any unpleasant situation or sensation without running away from them and without hiding into any more comfortable place. And Magic Phoenix responds, perfect.
Perfect.
She goes on to say, in brief, I am trying to cut out the habit of avoiding unpleasant situations and create and reinforce at the same time the habit of staying still in them as long as I can.
Well put.
I think she knocked that one out of the ballpark.
Pretty much it.
That's it. So we don't know what markers. We're all going to have different markers. But if we start with the premise, whatever you want to call it and however you want to call it, I'm calling it, I'm starting with the premise that we're all voyagers here. And if I go and look at your day and what it was like today, and I look at my day and what it was like today, I had a sequence of events, some of which were difficult and some of which were inspiring, really. We each have a signature that we go through in the day that's different. Each one is very different.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is develop maps and markers. And we're getting those right now. So what Nortiana is telling us, she's saying, I'm not sure how to do this darn thing. But one thing I can look at, one way to approach it is that when I see something that's a conflict or difficult, maybe one thing I can do is just not react. You know, you're going to, of course, be practical about that, but, you know, if there's a really gruff person that you encounter, well, maybe you just don't react. Remember the story of Paul Berry. Paul Berry we were doing this practical work on self, and we got to the pond exercise. And this guy was a counselor for high school kids. And one of his students was a liar. I mean, these guys were all kind of almost juvenile delinquents. And this one kid was just hopelessly lied all the time. And so he'd sit down in front of Paul, and Paul would, of course, the guy would start lying, and Paul, you know, wouldn't say anything, but inwardly he'd react. He goes, this guy just lying. He just can't stop from lying. And that went on for a while. And after a while, Paul had an idea to not inwardly react in any way whatsoever. At that moment, very soon after that, that person started opening up to him. So, in a sense, that person came into the space, the more macro-dimensional space created by Paul, rather than Paul reacting to his space. That makes sense, Nortiana? And So what we're talking about here is that we have an opportunity in our day-to-day life. We have 100 opportunities all day.
At least.
Hundreds. And so what do you do with those? What do you do with them? How do you work with them? What's your signature of how you proceed? And one of the things that we have, one opportunity we have, is some of the things that are just discussed right here.
Yeah.
It's a little more obscure, but I wanted to also address this other part of these. Like in 6, it says, the primal form of the element earth is coming to shine outward like a yellow radiation.
Yep.
And then 5 says, I recognize the basic component of consciousness, which when combined produces what is called the element water, right?
Yes.
And then 4 is,
if my labyrinth voyaging senses recovered, I know that this is the matrix of space. A component of consciousness which is sensitive to and which creates the apparency of space. Yeah, they have some quality which has been described in a physical manner.
Yeah.
Physics, you know.
So, kind of make some of these chambers hip pocket for yourself, so that tomorrow when you go out, or after you get up from bed, you know, after you get up and stuff, go back to bed, get up, and so on and so forth. And then you just have them hip pocket. And you're kind of like looking around. You're, what are the markers there? What did I see? What is being presented to me? As time goes on here, we're going to have a whole deck of cards, in a sense, to work with. And
49 cards.
And, you know, my friend Molly Midway here says every once in a while, she'll just say, oh, chamber 9. It just is apparent to her. So give it a try, but you know what? This doesn't come automatically. Why doesn't it come automatically? Because the human biological machine got more force at this time. It's got a lot more power, you know. So we have to, but we can sidestep it, and the way you sidestep it is by little droplets of effort, little droplets of effort, and just pretend, you know, you read the darn thing, pick up the book and you read it. Well, I don't know about this, but let me just read it. You read the thing and you go, pride? I didn't see that before. And then you see also pride, and you see these things about the yellow radiant beam. What could that be? Oh, and you have visions about it. You have this. See, that's the prop. This is what I'm trying to get around here. We have an image of what that should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been helped with that by the Catholic Church and others. And, you know, we're looking for a beam of light projected from some
source.
You know, like a light source. There's a yellow beam, radiant beam of light. That's what they're talking about. Well, you don't know what form it will take. And this is the creativity that you have to bring to it. We talk about the creativity of the mental centrum earlier today, and what form might it take? The answer is, I don't know. But just take it as a premise that might be the form that it takes, that you take that these are the elements of it, and what is the form that it's going to take for you, you'll figure it out.
May I just add one little tiny image to that, since you brought it up in such a lovely way, creative. So there was a period of time here where we had a very lovely practice called You Can Paint. And what we all learned in the first lessons and were repeated thereafter was, what color is the sky? Any color you want. What color are the trees? Any color you want. So there is no prescriptive, defined criteria about the appearance of anything that is phenomena in the first place and is subject to your conditioning in the second place, how it appears to you at the moment that you're aware of it will be yours. And that's part of what I was saying at the beginning, which is, I'm not stating what your experience is. I'm having us agree what our common language about your experience might be. So in the same practice as you can paint, however you choose to describe or write down your description, in the Labyrinth Readers program, we usually call that a reading log, in which you would just jot it down. It doesn't need to be anything in particular. It can be whatever you want.
So these are, I don't know if anybody else has done this before, but we're doing it now.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm saying, let's take this material and bring it into your everyday life. And by definition, it's going to have a different quality for each person. It's going to manifest differently. Magic Phoenix has gone through quite a lot lately, and so it's going to manifest differently for her.
Mm-hmm.
Or Susan, who's carrying a certain burden, it's going to manifest for her. Or Harry.
Or you.
And certainly for me. So, see what you see. Now, I know it's hard to, I'm not asking for people to populate the website or anything like that, but if something comes to mind, how it worked for you, write it down so that others have a chance to read it. We're looking for clues on how to interpret this in our everyday life. It's really hard to do that.
Yes, and we all need to help each other, even if we don't think that our experience could be of value to somebody else. We don't know that. It just might not ever have occurred to us the way that you're seeing it and describing it. Oh, I got a whole new take on that. So,
right.
Very helpful.
And just like when you talked about receiving the radiation,
mm-hmm.
it gave me a whole different take and a whole different view that I had never considered.
Good.
I'll tell you, I was very fortunate with my cancer treatment experience. I had several people that I went to and said, you know, I got to have this experience. What would you do with it? And one of them said to me, well, just look at it as the clear light. And I go, duh.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't claim that one as my own, but I certainly embraced it.
David, there's an interesting comment by Magic Phoenix I would like to share.
Please.
You must tough it out without fighting or resistance. That is, tough it out untoughly, if there's a word for that.
Yeah, it's a good word.
There's a couple of more.
Go ahead.
She says, hang in there without hanging on to it. Any
say it again.
Experience. When you're in any unpleasant experience, to hang in there without hanging on to it.
without being attached to it. I think that's the whole principle in these chambers, these three chambers here, is that the stuff is going to happen if you give into the soft light. That's the way out of the chamber. This is suggesting that there's a value to the cleansing radiation and that we have an opportunity to cleanse some stuff over that. I mean, it's really direct. It says that this yellow radiation helps you with the pride which just is throughout us. Or in the first one, it's the with your karmic tendencies. So this is color radiation.
Okay. Fabulous.
Color radiation. But you have to find it in your life. You have to find it in the world today, like you were up there in the mountains today. If you had this on, you would have seen things. You know, there were certain colors and certain moods, and walking was very hard in that regard. But you didn't give up. You worked with it. So that's a form of sticking with it. So there's a particular form of that as well. So we have a few more minutes, but I wanted to discuss. Is there anything else on that, Harry or Susan?
Susan, you want to read some of these?
Sure.
There are several comments, but just to finish up her line of thought, Magic Phoenix says, my chronic was always leaving, so when the time came, I did not leave. Now I think it's not my chronic anymore, but I don't know.
Okay.
And then Simon says, it's because the experience becomes a feeling. That's why Don Juan always told Carlos that life was a feeling.
Right.
That's why it's difficult to express the experiences, but it can be done.
After we're more used to being in this space, in a more, where it's more common for us, we can talk about the idea of how we craft our way through it, too. How to accept certain things, how to move, how to navigate in a different manner. But right now we're just trying to acknowledge the fact that we're in these spaces. Okay, anything else?
No, not at the first moment.
No, not at the moment.
Okay,
I have to say one thing.
Or go ahead.
If there's time.
Yeah, there is.
Since Christmas, I've had this obsession with coloring. And I colored everything with colored pencils and markers. And then, as you said, color therapy, I realized that, like, I go through different phases of doing, like, a green phase or a yellow phase, different, like, hues of yellow. So it's just interesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, note things like that. Note. Like suddenly, you know, you want it to be yellow, everything to be yellow or a strange green or something like that. Just note it. Don't change it.
I never knew I liked orange. I didn't know I liked orange.
She loves orange, she
mm-hmm.
said. Now, so I won't be here next week. I think Ivan will be back.
Yes.
And Pat. And I think Pat and Ivan, if he's here.
Yes, we've talked about it.
You did? Okay,
yes.
Good. We'll take on, and I'd like to suggest, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do next week?
I would like to stay with this.
With these particular
Absolutely,
three chambers?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
The reason being is because the structure of the descriptions in the chambers are so full and detailed and deliberate in these first three. And some of the chambers later on, they just are kind of allude to things.
That's true.
That if we want to really get this practice of how does this relate to my day, then these first three are very rich. And I don't think it would hurt for another session with it.
Okay.
That would be my preference.
So you're saying the second stage?
No.
I'm saying chambers 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
And I would recommend doing the readings again as you did with individuals. If you did not do them with individuals, other individuals, besides yourself last time, then try and make an opportunity for yourself, even if it's only once. Even if you only do it one time, not even daily, but even if it's only one time with another person, both to give and receive. And if you can, to make it a possible that you actually do the same that Susan was describing, which is lay the body into a non-active mode. You know, put the body on pause, basically. And take the time for the readings to be absorbed in some other manners besides the one with just, you know, listening with your ears. If you can. It's a very good opportunity.
Yeah, and I want to say, take the show on the road, too. Take the show on the road. In other words, by which I mean, take these chambers.
Out the door.
Out the door. Hold the chamber, hold the book up right next to you, and you go, oh, let's see. Oh, that's over there.
Ah, gee, what is?
So take it out in the road. I'm looking for specifics, you know, like what happened at the grocery store or when you picked up your dry cleaning or the guy at the gas station when you're trying to get a cup of coffee in Utah, which is a dry state. But, so.
Do you have water?
No, all state is out of water.
So we do have a good new comment.
Go ahead.
From Gepel?
G.A. Paltz?
Yes.
G.A. Paltz?
Yes.
Grant.
Okay, so it says, in response to Pat's comments about you can paint, the worlds that the ABD opens up for us are unlimited.
Yes.
Holding that knowledge and viewpoint can also give us a gauge as to whether we are in the radiations or more limited soft light. Sense of wonder.
And I, perfect.
Once again, very succinct. Thank you.
And I strongly suggest, I'll have the chat up on the website before I leave. But reread Nortiana's comments as well.
Yes, please.
And Hoffman is looking for a partner.
I've already responded.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
And those people who are in Second Life, it's possible to do it there. And you can do it more than once with other partners if you'd like.
Sure. I hesitate to say the more the merrier, but human beings... As reading partners,
Second Life is
Half Life.
Well, it's 2D, but 3D.
It's 2D, but 3D.
She's telling us.
Yes.
So
First Life.
Apparently so.
Good enough.
So, but you have also a little bit. In addition to that, I'm strongly suggesting that you read from Chambers 7 through 10 as well, because we are going to approach that pretty darn soon.
Yes. Read it, but let's focus
with 4, 5, and 6
for this next week.
Okay. We're going to go deeper into them. So it's going to take a little bit more.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
No, sir. Not that I can see.
Okay.
Okay.
Good class.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Take care. Thank you, Silverdale.
Thanks, you all.
Well, Silverdale's